In Matthew chapter 15, I want to read verses 21 to 28. Listen to the story. We're going to talk about a mother with great faith this morning, because I'm talking to a lot of mothers with great faith. I'm talking to women who have sacrificed their lives for the sake of their children. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, truth. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. May God bless the reading of his word. We're going to look at a story that takes place between the event of Jesus walking on the water and feeding the 4,000. And we're used to those stories of him transcending the elements and walking on the water. We saw that in Sunday school, and then he fed the 4,000. And yet we're going to look at a woman this morning, because it's Mother's Day, because I want God to bless all of you mothers. But I want you to see, we're going to look at the story of a woman. We don't know her name. We don't know. She's one of the nameless, faceless people that appear in the Bible. But we do know something about her, that her entire, we don't know her name, but we know her character. And her character was spelled out in four words. Jesus said, she had great faith. She had great faith. Jesus was an expert in faith. He was always looking for faith, just as a gemologist is out looking for jewels. Jesus can spot confident hope and trust in people. And he looked at this woman and he saw something magnificent and he saw something special and he defines her character. In fact, this is the only time when Jesus goes out of his domain into Gentile territory, and Jesus went 50 miles on a road that went over the mountains. And there's no evidence he healed anyone else. There's no evidence he taught any sermon. There's no evidence of him walking that distance except to get to this mama who was in need. I want to encourage every one of you mothers this morning. Christ will go out of his way every time, in every context, to touch your heart and to reach you where you are. The cry of this woman was impossible for us to imagine. Some of you do, though, under the sound of my voice. She was possessed of a devil. She had given over her life to darkness, and it was a hopeless and helpless situation. And Jesus even strained the bonds of convention by going 50 miles out of his way. And he says, naming her character in four words, she had great faith. Do you know he never said that of any of his disciples? Only three times does Jesus ever say in the New Testament they had great faith. Never were they believers within the circle of the faith of Israel. They were always outsiders. They were always people we would think are the castaways, the untouchables of the world. Jesus says of this woman, and we're going to get to the setbacks that have been and the barriers that she has to cross in a minute, but this woman was a Canaanite. She was not of the covenant faith of Israel. But how many of you know Jesus will go outside of the boundaries of religious thought in order to reach one hungry heart? Mothers, be encouraged this morning. He went all the way away from his comfort zone to reach her, and he will reach out to you. So her daughter was in a hopeless situation, and yet Jesus speaks to her, and he points out some remarkable things with regard to faith. Now, he's a connoisseur of faith. He loves faith. So we're going to look at this nameless, faceless woman, and we're going to see what it was about her faith that was so pleasing to God. And by the way, I want to encourage you, this woman was about to run head first into a strange encounter with Jesus. And we'll get there in a few minutes. This is one of the rare times Jesus was silent, and he almost seems rude. I want to encourage you. Listen, this is an encouragement. Many of you mothers are about to enter into a season of your life where you're going to have a strange encounter with Jesus. He may not come into your life the way you think he's going to. He may not come from the direction that you're hoping he'll come from. But you know what? Ours is to do what this woman did, to fall down and worship in utter submission to his will. Don't argue with him. Don't try to reason with him. just fall down and worship. This woman is about to run into a very strange encounter, and I'm encouraging some of you ladies. Many of you have a mark of destiny on your life, and it isn't going to be business as usual this year, and it isn't going to be just a life in a normative sense. God has called you to great things. Some of you, I need to remind you this morning, you got a destiny larger than where you're sitting right now. You belong to something greater than yourself. And this woman, as odd as she is, and we'll get to her in just a minute, is about to have an extraordinary encounter with Jesus. I believe we are on the brink of the greatest outpouring of God in human history. I believe it. And mothers, you have a specific role, but it may not be the role that you think. You may be limited in your own mind as to where you fit in the kingdom and how much God can use you. Well, I'm just a mother and I'm limited in resources and I don't have every talent and gift. Let me tell you, this woman's about to have a very strange and dynamic encounter with Jesus that's going to change her destiny. It's going to change her life and it's going to bring life to her child. This woman is a desperate woman. And I want you to take a look at what it is that's remarkable about her. We're going to find out that she crossed great barriers. She was a woman who crossed great barriers, but secondly, she was a woman who persisted and persisted and persisted. And third, she was a woman who made no claim upon Jesus. She rather submitted utterly to his grace. So let's look at why she was so special. First, she crossed great barriers. She had a lot against her. First of all, she had the gender problem. She was a woman. In this time, culturally, women were considered to be property. They had no voice, no authority, no power, and no rights. And by the way, you may have heard the deception that Christianity is somehow demeaning to women and it's a patriarchal model that beats you women in the head. That's the biggest load of bull you're ever going to get anywhere. Christ elevated you ladies as daughters of Eve to a place of absolute equality with regard to creation, absolute equality with regard to redemption. Jesus fellowshiped with Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. That was never done in that time in the culture, but he did it. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 in the city of Samaria. That was an inappropriate thing according to the religiously minded, but he did it. Mary Magdalene was the first witness of the resurrection glory of Jesus Christ. He raised women to the place of their equality with regard to redemption and creation. Don't you ever buy that line that Christianity is what holds you back. Jesus honors the feminine gender, and he raises you ladies up to a place of a co-equal significance in the redemptive work of God. So say amen. Someone say amen right there. Don't believe everything you hear on CNN. All right. The first barrier she crossed was her gender. She was a woman, but secondly, she was a Gentile. She was a Gentile. She was a non-Jew. She was outside of the covenant promises of Israel. Now we'll find out Jesus goes out of his way 50 miles to reach her to demonstrate that he's inclusive with regard to his love and salvation. But understand the culture. It was not appropriate to consider that this Gentile woman had any claim to even meet or speak with the Jewish Messiah. So she had a lot against her. And many of you women have a lot of barriers against you. And you've had to fight through an awful lot of barriers. Well, guess what? Faith today still requires that we are willing to jump through barriers and pass through any barriers that may be set against us. To get the prize, you have to go through barriers. She was a woman first. She was a Gentile second. Third, she was a Canaanite. The Canaanites were the ancient enemies of Israel, and they were pagans, and they worshiped false gods. But you know what? Baal wasn't getting it for her. Astart wasn't getting it for her. She was unable to find any bit of help wherever she had been. And so she's in a place now where she has to cross great barriers. And I want to encourage you, every one of you, that you can cross great barriers too. But there's three reasons that she was able to, I think, cross these barriers. The first is desperation. This is a desperate woman. She is desperate about the condition of her child. She knew that things weren't working for her. She knew she didn't have the stuff to pull her daughter out of this bondage. She'd tried everything else. She'd been everywhere else. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She spent all that she had on physicians, but was nothing better, but rather grew worse. That's the condition of this woman. And some of you moms know what that feels like. You are so bloody desperate, you don't know what to do. It's your baby. There's a darkness that you cannot quench, and you've gone everywhere, and you've had everybody lay hands, and you've had everybody pray, and you've had the prayer chains, and you've gone to Herbal Life, you've done everything that you can. There's something, though, about a desperate mom. I want you to see this is one of the qualities that allowed this woman to cross these barriers. She was desperate, but Jesus loved her desperation. He's going to commend her At the end of the day, he's going to point to his own people and say, I have never seen this kind of faith, even with you Boy Scouts. You're supposed to have it. You know, Israel, the people of covenant faith, they're supposed to be on the cutting edge. But you know, sometimes God has to look outside the church world to find people who will believe him. Yeah, I think this next outpouring of the Holy Spirit we're going to see and witness in our time isn't going to come through conventional church business as usual. Fire is going to fall in the streets as it always does. God will just start falling in bars. His glory will just start falling in the street. And then we'll try to build a church around it in order to contain him, because that's what we do. Lightning strikes and we build a cathedral. Yeah. Amen. But you know, there's something about the Lord that's unconventional. And his disciples thought it was inappropriate that he went into Tyre and Sidon. That's the contemporary area of Lebanon. The Jewish Messiah isn't supposed to go there. The ground is unclean. 50 miles and no preaching. There's no seminars. He didn't teach any day-long seminars. He didn't give any lectures along the way. He's just silent, except he has to reach one mother. And I want to encourage you. I don't know what barrier that you have to cross through, moms. But this woman crossed through with her desperation. She was desperate, but secondly, her love. Her love drove her into an indescribable experience with Jesus. We're about to meet Jesus in a way we're not used to him. Listen to it. All of us are about to meet Jesus in a way we're not used to him. See, we're used to Jesus being predictable, holding the babies, patting them on the head, you know, healing cripples, you know, conventional things. But in this encounter, he's going to be silent and almost insulting. And has the Lord been insulting to any of you recently? That means, has he been thwarting your will in some way? Has he been thwarting your little plan? Lord, I've got my plan all set here, and I'd like you just to rubber stamp it in one signature, and we're on our way. Go right ahead. You know what? What we call prayer is usually looking for collusion on God's part. You know, we just want him to rubber stamp something. And if we say it right, Father, I put this in front of you, this contract, in Jesus' name, amen. And he's just supposed to stamp it. He won't always put his signet ring and seal and stamp your will for your life. That's when he starts being a little bit strange. This woman, we're going to find out, was a woman with great faith, but it was a wrestling faith. This woman had to wrestle her blessing out of God. Sometimes you just got to be persistent. Persistence alone is omnipotent. Genius isn't. Good intentions aren't. But it's just the person that just keeps getting up. And some of you mothers, you just keep getting up. You just keep doing life. You're not happy. You don't have any bliss in your life. You don't feel content. But you just keep doing the thing that covenant love demands. God bless you, because you are being watched. There are people that see your commitment. There are people that see the great barriers that you've had to go through. And just screw up, and I'll promise you, they've been watching you the whole time, but you got to screw up usually. You go and screw up on the job, and everybody lets you know they've been watching. I can't believe you call yourself a Christian. I can't believe you do such a thing. They're watching you. They're watching how you live. They're watching the barriers you go through in your desperation. They're watching the barriers that you endure with regard to your child. They are watching you. Just mess up, and you'll see it. You don't need to mess up. Don't do that. Don't say, the pastor told me to sin. No. Just trust me, you are intensively famous wherever you are. You may not be extensively famous, be on television or something, but you are intensively famous, mother. And your family, you're famous to your children, you're famous to your child, you're famous at work, you're famous in your family. Just screw up and they'll let you know. So I just want to encourage you, men and women, don't ever think they're not watching. Everybody's watching you through good times and bad times. You know, I went through some horrible times at one point in my life, and somebody came out afterwards and said, Pastor Craig, I didn't kill myself because it wasn't any sermon you preached. I saw your life and I watched what you survived and I saw you trust the Lord, and that's why I didn't kill myself. That's the finest testimony I've ever heard. If my whole life was for that, I'm content. They're watching you. And Jesus is pointing to this woman, and she had to cross barriers. She did it in desperation. Secondly, in love. She was driven by love, and Jesus loved her love. But third, she had vision. The measure of our faith is conditioned by what we see in Jesus. If you see him as an ogre, then you won't expect anything good from him. She somehow saw in him tenderness, mercy, hope, healing. And that vision she had of Jesus conditioned her faith, and by God, she would not be pushed back. We're going to find out in a minute, the disciples vibed her. They put the chill on her. Jesus's staff wouldn't let her in for an interview.
She had to go over their wrongheadedness to get to the source, and God's people are still as screwy. But she had a vision. Somehow she knew, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to Him, there's hope, there's mercy, there's tenderness, there's blessing. And loved one, I want to encourage you. This is the first trait she had. She had to break through barriers. And she did it in her desperation, her love, and her vision. But secondly, she was persistent. She refused to be put off. She refused to be intimidated. She pressed through. What did she have to press through? Well, she pressed through three things. The first thing was Jesus was silent. You know, here she's a Canaanite woman. She's a Gentile. She doesn't have any legal claim with regard to the covenant faith of Israel. And she comes with this desperate child, and she finally comes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, here I am." And He doesn't say anything. You know, silence from Jesus is a lot more intimidating than if He says a nasty word to you. By nasty word, I mean something you don't want to hear. I don't mean a bad word. But come on, the silence of Jesus, that is more intimidating to me than Him saying, "Hey, Craig, knock me upside the head, but don't look at me and be silent." But He is silent. He doesn't say a word. But His apparent unkindness is only apparent. Loved one, silence is not a refusal. I'm talking to some mothers, and I have to say it. Silence is not a refusal. You may not have heard clearly from the Lord what you're wanting to hear. But He didn't answer her a word. Initially, He answered her not a word. It doesn't say He didn't hear every word. You know, Jesus hears all of your prayers, whether He answers them specifically in your terms. He always hears our prayers. He always hears our heart. In fact, He doesn't answer our words. Sometimes He answers our heart. "Oh, Lord, please, if I can just be married to Jimmy, I'll give my soul to the devil. Please, Lord, please." You know, sometimes God won't hear your words. He answers your heart. He goes, "Jimmy is not for you. Right. Jimmy belongs to Susie." And then He goes, "Screw Susie's life up." And then you look off in the distance and go, "Oh, my God. Have you ever grown through something and gone, I wanted that? I was going to sell my soul to the devil to get that?" That's right. God will answer your heart, thank God, and not your words sometimes. You remember in the book of Exodus, Moses said to God from the mountain, "Lord, go down in the midst of all your people and treat them all as you're treating me." And God says, "Oh, Moses, you have no idea what you're asking. If I went down in their midst, I would consume them at once because they're so filthy and they're rebellious. But I appreciate your heart." God will answer your heart sometimes and not your words. Amen? So I know your prayer list is important and you've written it all out and you're telling God what to rubber stamp. But, you know, trust Him to answer the way He knows He should answer. So Jesus first is silent. Look at what she persisted through, the silence of Jesus. But this woman, she didn't perceive any indifference in His silence. She just pressed through it right to the great heart of God. She had a vision. She knew. Loved ones, sometimes Jesus will give you a circumstance that will force you to express your love for Him and your great faith. Why was He silent? Well, you know what? Sometimes He's doing a work. Actually, He's always doing a work that we cannot understand. We cannot fully embrace. You know, where He's taking you, it involves so many details and so much minutia that you just have to trust Him to do it. Because if He put into your pea brain His infinite plans, your brain would explode. If you got your prayers answered, your head would explode. You know, "Lord, I don't understand. Why did my loved one die?" You know what? If He downloads that infinite knowledge into your finite brain, something's going to give, and it's going to be your little pea brain that's going to explode. And we don't want that kind of manifestation. Although I was at a church in Oregon. Listen, and I was reading the bulletin in an Oregon church. And it said, "Friday night, 7 p.m., exploding youth." I thought, wow, I don't want to miss that. Are they committed to reach their world or what, you know? Bring little Jimmy up, you know. No, I don't want to. Exploding youth. Okay, well, anyway, let me get back to the text. Jesus is utterly silent, but she persists. She persists. And she presses through to His great heart. Now, this means Jesus can sometimes initially appear different than you would expect Him to be. Wouldn't you expect Him to say, "Hi, how are you?" Give you sloppy agape, hug you 55 times, give you some warm fuzzies. Sometimes He's silent. And that means we need to press in. We need to press in. Don't run away. Don't feel the chill and then say, well, that's it. He's going to be silent. Then I'm going to be out of here. Well, you know what? That's what he's trying to purge out of us. Our way, my will, my thing. You know what? This woman had to press through the silence of Jesus. But secondly, she had to press through a rebuke of the disciples. Verse 23 says, she goes to the disciples and said, my daughter's demon possessed. I have to see Jesus. And they are so put out by her. She is a pain in the neck. She's a pain in the butt. They want her gone. They even go to Jesus and say, get rid of this chick. She's driving us crazy.
Aren't people in ministry just redemptive and wonderful? Sometimes you've got to go over the wrong heads of God's leaders to get directly to Jesus. Don't amen that one. Jot that one down.
The disciples put the chill on. The disciples won't let her into the ministry headquarters. The disciples say, there's the door, get out. We're going to call security. But she persists. She says, I'm going to break through these barriers. I will not hear no as an answer. I will see Jesus. This woman had it fixed in her heart. I will only be thrown out by Jesus himself. I will only be turned away by Christ himself, not by some of his flunkies. Lord, get rid of us. She's bugging us, calling from the front desk. Is she still sitting out there? Is she still in the waiting room? Yes. Mothers, keep your persistence. Jesus said, ask and you receive, seek and you find. The Greek tense is over, ask, keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock, keep on knocking. Don't stop until you get to the top. Go to him. You're going to sometimes have to go over the heads of his leaders to get to him. But you know what? That's only healthy. Everybody comes to church and they're happy the first 6 months, then they're not fed anymore. I'm just not fed. Well, do you eat at home? I'm not fed. You know, I can't eat your food, chew it, swallow it, digest it, and poop it out for you. That's not my job. Okay? And that is not the job of any spiritual mentor in your life. You have to feed yourself or you're not going to be fed. If you just wait till every Sunday for me to fill you up, you are going to burn out about Monday at 6 p.m. And then the message didn't carry me. Well, I'm supposed to teach you how to feed yourself. Amen. So this woman is persistent. She is going through the barriers. And she persists through the silence of Jesus. She persists through the rebuke of the disciples. And, oh, loved one, why? Why is Jesus doing it this way? Why isn't he doing it my way? You know, delay sometimes enhances the preciousness of the gift. Sometimes delay is not denial. Sometimes delay just enhances the preciousness of the gift. Sometimes you need to press through. If you really care, you're going to press through. If you really want what's best, it's not the jewels do not lay around on the surface. Only the wood, hand, stubble lays around on the surface. You got to dig to get to the jewels. You got to dig to get to the gold and the silver. It isn't laying around on the ground. Well, I'm just believing God. You're going to, yeah, what? Drop it down from heaven? Heavenly rabbit's foot? Fairy dust? Magic wand, you have to dig to get the gold. You've got to be persistent. And this woman was a woman of faith. She went through every barrier that was set in front of her, and she would not stop, even when the silence of Jesus, the rebuke of the disciples, but even the behavior of Jesus. Now, let's take a look at this because, you know, most women in their best day don't want to be called a dog. This just doesn't seem to be on the top 10 list. But look at where her perseverance takes her. Jesus now clarifies his mission. He goes, you know, he's simply saying, you know, you're a Gentile, Canaanite. You're not in the covenant faith of Israel. And so you're really not of the children of God. You're just one of the Gentile dogs out there. And he uses the word in Greek for a little puppy, little house. He's not saying you're a mangy scoundrel running around eating the neighborhood pets. He's calling you a pet. He says, you know what? I'm sorry, but you're just not in the right club. I just don't have any legal right to give you anything because you're not of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I want you to notice this does not faze her. Doesn't faze her. Because remember, she's desperate. She's driven by love and she has a vision of Jesus. She sees the tenderness. She sees the kindness. Loved ones, sometimes God has much more love in his heart for you than you can see right now in the way that he's dealing with you. Sometimes his dealings with you right now do not betray the great love in his heart. But there was a reason behind all of this silence. There was a reason behind all of this strangeness in Jesus. And persistence is the hallmark of a godly mother. Jesus says, you're just one of the Gentile puppies and you're not one of the children. Should I give the children's bread? And she comes and says, Jesus, I know that you walked 50 miles to come into this unclean place. And I acknowledge that you are Lord and you are the master of the table. But I am just sitting under the table. And Lord, I know you provide so much for your little children. So there's got to be at least a few crumbs of grace there for me. And I'll be content with that. I'll be content with that. And she humbles herself and she falls down and worships him. She doesn't argue with him. Loved one, faith doesn't argue with Christ. You're never going to win. Because he can't argue with you because he's infinite and you're finite. And to argue with you, you'd have to be on the same plane intellectually and you'd have to be able to follow his logic. And that's not possible for us, for you at least. I, of course, am at a different level. And, you know. Mark Twain said, I don't know why there's so much evil in the world when lightning bolts are so cheap. I smelled one coming around. Yeah. Do you see, you can't reason things out because he's got an infinite mind and you're a finite pea brain. And to argue, you would have to be able to follow his arguments, and it's impossible. So what she does instead is she circumvents the reason, she circumvents the silence, she circumvents everything, and she falls down and she worships him. And she just says, Lord, help me. Help me. There's got to be some little bit of grace there that won't deprive the children of their bread. And I'll just take that. And Jesus says, for this saying, you have great faith. Go your way. Your daughter is healed. From that moment, she began to recover. Loved one, I think that God is going to start answering some prayers of some mothers under the sound of my voice. But he's going to answer your prayers his way on his terms. And you're just going to have to worship before him right now, not logic it out, not reason it out, not try to figure it out, not get 10 more books that are going to explain the 7 things you need to do in order to get him to do this and that. He is not able to be manipulated. He is not a cosmic bellhop. I love all the Christian books in the world, but at end, you're going to have to surrender to him and worship him and turn it over to him and say, Lord, whatever bread you've got for me is all I want. If you've got 1 crumb or 2 or 10 or a loaf, I'll take it. But I'm so desperate, but I so feel the love for my child, and I so need you to help me. And as she pressed through each barrier, I want to encourage you today, don't give up when you run into difficulties. Dr. C.E. Luthart says, quote, we must not let Jesus go. If he goes away, follow him. If he seems to be stern, become more urgent. If he hides his face, cry the louder. If he will not listen, assail his heart, for every no of Jesus is often a yes in disguise. Close quote. We will not let him go until he blesses us. Just like Jacob, we say to the angel of the Lord, we will not let you go until you bless us. She had great faith. And I want to close with this. She went through great barriers. She was persistent. But third, she made no claim. Verse 27 says, she made no claim. She did not get into pride. She did not feel any sense of human entitlement. She gave all of her life over to the grace of Jesus. She said, you know what? And mothers, listen, you've got to say, Lord, your way. Not my way. I know mothering is difficult, and I know there's a sense of control that we want to have with our children. And as they get older, you find out real quick that control is waning. You don't control anything, and you never have. I hate to wake you up, but that's the fact. And secondly, you can't control your children. First, you wouldn't let them out of your arms. Then you wouldn't let them out of your out of the room. Then you wouldn't let them out of your sight. Then you wouldn't let them out of the yard. But notice as you unleash that umbilical cord, you allow for possibilities of evil to occur that you have no control over. You know, my kids are 12 and 11, and I'm still trying to manage where they are. Where are you going? I hear the door open in my house. I go, hello, where are you going? But you know, there's a point where there has to be a death to that control, because they're really, it's an illusion. You don't have any control. It's all in his merciful hands. And this woman did not make any claim on Jesus. She just simply said, look, I am at the mercy of God. Lord, help me. I have no claim on you. I just need whatever grace you're willing to give me. And Jesus says she had great faith. And I want to encourage you. I'm looking at women I know that you've been through barriers. And even if you haven't biologically been mothers, you've been mothering Some of you are mothers in Israel, whether you like it or not. You have been used by God to mother other people. In fact, some of you have mothered other people better than their biological moms ever loved them or mothered them. So this is an encouragement for you to press through the barriers. Be desperate. Be loving. Have a vision that God has the best for you. Be persistent. Don't even let his people slow you down. And don't get bitter at God's people. Just go over their wrongheadedness to Jesus directly. Amen. You don't need to complain. Well, leaders are all, you know what? You need Jesus, ladies. I started there, I'll end there. Only Christ can satisfy your innermost longings. Only Christ can meet your deep needs that your children can't meet, your husband can't meet, your boyfriend can't meet, your father can't meet. Christ is to be your father and your husband and your lover and your boyfriend. He has to be that first. Only when your priorities are straight, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, will all the other things be added to you. They're only added things. But this woman, this nameless woman, is our example of faith today. If she can persist through all the barriers, you can too. And she got what she was looking for. Now, many of us in the room haven't had answers to our prayers. Sometimes the answer is no, that wasn't an answer. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he says, I have something so much better for you. Isn't that a delicious way of saying no? I have something so much better for you. But she was willing to make no claim and say, Lord, whatever crumb from you that you would choose to give me is going to be destiny to me. And she was delivered, and she was touched, and she was redeemed, and her life was changed, and everybody heard about it. And Jesus went 50 miles out of his way for that one. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray right now for this dear mother who is sitting in front of me, those that are listening. Jesus, I just hear you saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I just hear you saying over so many of these mothers, you have great faith. You are a woman of great faith. You are a woman that has crossed through impossible barriers. And I'm well pleased with that desperation and love and vision. I'm well pleased with your persistence in life, that some of you have just shown up and stayed alive, and that's your persistence. Jesus is pleased with that. And I know many of you have given up all sense of entitlement to your life, and you, like this woman, are just falling down before him saying, Lord, whatever portion, I'll take it. Whatever crumb, I accept it. Well, I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless these mothers spiritually, that they will have a new first love passion again restored to them. Bless these women mentally and emotionally, that they will feel complete in Christ, filled to the full by the Holy Spirit, and full of your holy word, so that they are mighty warriors, full of God. And Lord, I pray for their physical bodies, Lord, for the illnesses or presenting illnesses or any kind of pain and anguish, that you, Lord, would bring relief to these precious lambs, that you would bring refreshment to these mothers who many times their labor for their children has exhausted them to the point they're at now. Refresh them, Lord. Thou hast anointed my head with fresh oil, and I will bear fruit even in old age, the scripture says. So we pray, Lord, for refreshment for every mother. And Lord, for those of us who have been watching these mothers, we honor them in Jesus' name. As men, we bless them. We rise up and call them blessed. We rise up and say, God's peace to you. God's blessing on you. God's refreshment on you. We speak your destiny over you. We speak a fulfillment of your dreams over you, a fulfillment of your hopes over you. We ask you to bless and reward all of these women who have persisted no matter what and have broken through every barrier conceivable. Lord, by the end of the day, do something, transact something that will relieve them of their weariness, that will encourage a hope for the future, and will heal their past wounds in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Could you give the Lord some praise right there? Give him some praise.